Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of Parker Podcast. Today, we are talking about all things middle school and how our program and our faculty and staff and curriculum help guide students through these important 3 years of their lives. So to help us with that, we have head of middle school, Dan Lang, with us today. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
You're very welcome. Always excited to talk about the middle school program.
And we have a lot to talk about today, so I'm just going to dive right in. Dan, could you start us off by giving us the 30,000-foot overview of Parker's middle school program?
You bet. Well, the middle school is uniquely positioned right there in the middle. So we have to take our cue both from the lower school and the upper school. We start with the end in mind by thinking about where we want our students to graduate from Parker. And we work backwards to make sure that all of the program that we're building is moving our students along in a predictable and steady path towards excellence and achievement. At the same time, we're working very closely with our lower school to make sure that as students are moving from the lower school to us, that we have a very well articulated program so that that transition from fifth grade to sixth grade is as smooth as it possibly can be. We do know that the 5-6 transition is probably the most difficult transition in the K-12 environment, and we're really tuned into that. So that's why we spend a lot of time working with our fifth grade team to make sure that our students are going to have a very nice step into the sixth grade.
Beautiful. And how do we transition sixth graders? I know that, you know, the first trimester is sort of a lot of skill building. So how do we get them kind of on the ground running?
Sure. Part of the big change of moving from fifth grade to sixth grade is that we're moving from what is essentially a self-contained classroom to a fully departmentalized middle school environment. So where students typically spent the majority of their day with one contact point, one teacher who spends their time with 20 to 22 kids, knows them deeply, teaches them all of their content courses, now students are going to be in an environment that is where they have 8 different teachers. Those teachers still know them deeply and still challenge them appropriately as individuals, but students are moving around. They have 200 minutes of instruction in a content area, which is divides up into 4 class meetings of about 50 minutes each in the middle school. And that's just a little bit of a different rhythm. Students now, instead of knowing they have one place to go and they keep all of their stuff in their either their cubby or in their flip-top desk, which if you've heard me talk to parents before, you know that's like one of my favorite memories is that flip-top desk where all of my stuff was. Now they have a locker. They have to figure out how to use a combination lock, which for us as adults, that sounds like something that's like not a big deal, but for an 11-year-old, it's a big deal, especially when they only have 5 minutes to figure that out, get into their locker, get what they need, maybe use the restroom, get a drink of water, and get to class. And those classes are at different places on the campus. Middle school is fortunately fairly self-contained. Most of our classes are either in the original middle school building, the N building, or right across the way, where we added 6 classrooms in 2009. But we share facilities with the upper school for visual arts, for music, for dance, for theater, for athletics. And those are a little further away than our little middle school nest, if you will. And students have to figure out how to navigate that. They change for PE. They have a PE locker. So all of that new stuff happens for them in sixth grade. That in and of itself is a very significant cognitive challenge. And sometimes we may not pause to think about that because we're like, oh, well, math 6. Yeah, my kid can do that. But can they do math 6 and go to 8 classes and get to PE and remember to take their PE uniform home to get washed and remember how to use their combination lock and. So our sixth grade team is really dialed in to at the beginning of the year spending time on transitioning students. The academic rigor is just a little bit lower at the beginning of the year. We're focusing on materials management because kids leave stuff everywhere. We're focusing on what are the expectations for each different teacher in their classroom. If you were to walk around Parker, you're not going to find a homogeneous environment. Every teacher has their particular style of magic, and some have a little more sedate classrooms, and some classrooms, like my own, are a little louder and very, very student exuberance driven, if you will. So students have to get used to that variety, and our sixth grade team spends a lot of time helping them make that change. Mm-hmm. As the year goes on, we like to call it the arc of sixth grade. As the year goes on, we start to raise that academic rigor about the middle of trimester two, and by the end of trimester three, they're really full middle schoolers, and they feel comfortable, and mm-hmm. they're ready to go for seventh grade.
That's a perfect transition, too, because now that we sort of get into this topic of rigor, what does that look like at Parker's middle school program?
Mm-hmm. So academic rigor at Parker is not defined by more work. Let's put it that way. Sometimes folks think, well, if you have a lot of work or a lot of homework or something like that, that equates to rigor. For us, rigor means that we have set the learning targets for our courses appropriately to challenge our students to grow. Mm-hmm. And over time, because we're constantly taking the temperature of our students and what their capabilities are, we're norming our curriculum to our peer schools and to state and national standards to see, are we setting the bar at the right place? And then making sure that that bar is set in order to push students mm-hmm. is equivalent to rigor. What we find is when students are, through a feedback loop, what we find is that if our students can, if we can raise that bar a little bit, we will. If we find that it's a little too challenging in a particular place, we'll revise the location of the bar as well. But what we found almost to a kid is wherever we set the bar, they seem to rise to meet it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the great things about being at a school like Parker. Our kids want to achieve. Our families are all in supporting kids to reach their desired level of achievement. And then our teachers are right there ready to help kids get over the bar. And that's part of the fun of middle school is we often feel like we're giving them that boost mm-hmm. to clear the bar. But we are a school that where students will work hard. They'll be challenged. They'll be pushed both collectively and individually. Teachers get to know their students really well, and they might point them in a particular direction. Student's math teacher may say, you know, math team would be a great place for you to continue to grow and pursue and do things that are outside of our classroom. Science Olympiad might be a great place to do that. History team, things like that. So that's really how we define it here.
So what are some examples by the time a grade 8 student has finished middle school at Parker? What are some of the markers that they'll bring with them into upper school?
Well, one of the things that is really part of our core values here at Parker, and that makes that question a hard one to answer, is that we really focus on the entire child. So I like to, when we're speaking with families who are looking for their next home, their next educational home for their child, I like to reassure them that school like Parker, academic excellence is the floor. Our students are going to achieve academic excellence. Our teachers are going to set the stage for that to happen. So in those spaces, we work through our scope and sequence project, like I mentioned before, to work backwards from grade 12 all the way through to grade 6, and then partnering with our lower school even more to get our tangible outcomes in a good place so that students are making smooth progress. In the same way, we're doing those types of things, that kind of vertical articulation in music, in art, in physical education. And those instructional spaces are just as important to a Parker education as what many might call our traditional academic subjects. We have carved out the same number of instructional minutes every week for art, music, and PE as we have for math, English, science, world language. One of the things, speaking of world language, one of the things that we are really fortunate in our environment to have is that students moving from our lower school into our middle school have had the opportunity to take world language instruction. So they pick up and they will go into a level one course typically, which is the equivalent of a ninth grade level one course that a student who's not had world language instruction may take at their local high school. And then our world languages progress all the way through 12th grade in that way that we're hoping to see as close to fluency as possible in a non-bilingual, non-immersion setting. So we feel really fortunate that that foundation gets laid in our lower school. And then for students who are joining us new to the Parker community, we also have introductory levels of those languages to give them a year to really kind of get ready to take that level one course, and then they're on that same path to excellence and as close to fluency as possible. Art is highly valued here. You can just walk through the Rose Gallery at any time and see just how important that is, visual art is to our community. And we've created space for it. We've created time for it. We have a variety of offerings, and the things that students make in those spaces are fantastic. And then in addition to what we would say are kind of our more traditional visual arts pursuits, we have an entire side of digital arts that we pursue as well. So our design lab, our Think, Tinker, Make class. We've got visual animation, digital animation, excuse me, computer programming. Our kids are just pushing the envelope everywhere. So that's pretty neat. And then music is another one that begins in our lower school, picks up and continues in our middle school. And it's a year-long commitment, which is a little different than art. And in art, students can take a 12-week course and then take a different 12-week course in the next trimester and so on. Music, we ask them to make a year-long commitment. And we encourage students to stay in the music that they're in, just like we encourage them to stay in the language that they're in so that they can pursue it at depth. And we just had our a concert last night, actually. It was fantastic. And to see the growth between, say, sixth grade band and then seventh and eighth grade band, it's pretty amazing. My favorite number of last night was Disco Lives, so that was a little fun walk down memory lane. But seeing what our students accomplish and then watching as they articulate into the upper school and then seeing how much further they go is really neat.
So to jump back a little bit, because sure. You've mentioned a couple of times about programs sort of beginning in lower school and continuing through middle school. For a student who's new in sixth grade, mm-hmm. In addition to that sixth grade arc that you were talking about, I know that there are some other ways that we make sure that they're supported emotionally, that they're building friendships. Can mm-hmm. you talk a little bit about how we kind of ease new students into the program as well?
Sure. Very important in sixth grade. As you know, over the last few years, we've seen our primary entry point shift to sixth grade. And what that means is about half of our class comes in new at sixth grade. And one of the things that's really exciting about that is when their classmates from the lower school join them here, one of the things that's good is they're all new to the middle school. So even though we have families that have been with us since SK, they're new to the Linda Vista campus. They're new to middle school. So there's a lot of new to be shared. So we're aware of that. And we also are aware of that we're adding half of the class new then. So we've designed programming and timed our programming in a way to make that transition smooth for our veteran families and for our new families. So typically within the first week of school, we'll have our sixth grade cohort go off to camp together. And in that space, they spend a lot of time in their advisory groups. And so advisory in middle school is very similar to the concept of homeroom, but it goes beyond that with what we do with the programming there. But for folks that need a reference point, if you remember your homeroom, that kind of spot where you had the 15 other kids that you met with on a regular basis and they were your people for the year. That's what advisory is like in all three grades in the middle school. And they spend that first week at camp in those advisory groups doing a lot of work at camp together to bond the new kids and to bond our veteran families, our veteran students. And from there, they really go off to camp as kind of this jumbled group of, you know, new and returning students, and they come back as one class. And it's a really neat process. And then advisory continues out throughout the rest of the year. We spend a lot of time in advisory each week. We've baked 100 minutes a week into our schedule, so very intentional. At the beginning of the year, as we talked earlier, a lot of that is transition work. Students do student-led conferences in sixth grade, so one of the first tasks they'll take on is preparing for a student-led conference with their parents. That'll happen in the first week of December, where those new sixth graders get to sit down with their parents and tell them, hey, this is how my transition's been so far. These are the strengths that I've discovered in myself. These are the areas where I might want to get a little bit better. Here are some goals that I've set. And we ask students then to include their parents in the process of their achievement, in the process of their goal setting, and holding them accountable to their goals. So just that piece of going to camp in the first week, establishing their advisory groups, really helps with that transition piece.
So our hope is obviously that students will successfully navigate the middle school program and then go on to upper school where they'll graduate and head into the rest of their adolescence. What is unique about Parker graduates?
Well, it's a hard question, because our values at Parker really point us to look at each individual student. So I could answer that question in as many as the number of graduates we have in a year. But what I would say that's common to all of them, they're very well poised. They're curious. They speak well. They think well on their feet. They're kind people. They really have a sense of... I hesitate to say purpose, because they haven't got it dialed in yet at 18 or 17, but they're well pointed. They know that when they're leaving here to go to university and to later pursue a career and to live their life, that it's more than just getting a piece of paper. It's more than just building a particular skill set. Those things are important, but they really take to heart that making a meaningful difference in the world. And I think when you see kids coming back, when they're in college or even after college and they start sharing their stories, it's always about how they're making a meaningful difference. They're always proud to say, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm making things better. And that's pretty unique. That's pretty unique.
I agree. To wrap us up, this is a fun one that I'm sure you have a good answer to, is why are middle schoolers so great?
Oh my goodness. Because they're goofy. Honestly, you know, I'm sure as you've walked through your life as well, people ask you, so what do you do? And you say, oh, well, I work at a school. And they go, school? Oh my goodness, I could never do that. Well, I'm sure everyone could say that about everyone's profession. Like, I'm sure that I could never be a surgeon, right? So because I'm like, ooh, boy, that's yucky. But for us, we've chosen to work with this age group. We've chosen to work with these kids. We understand them. They're at a very neat developmental point. Their bodies are changing. Their brains are changing. They literally are going crazy some of the time. Mm-hmm. And we like that. We like working with that. We like teasing them down the path of learning, is what I usually say. And it's just fun. You can still get away with some corny jokes. They still laugh. And at the same time, they're very thoughtful and very capable of some very challenging stuff. So it makes it a neat time in life to work with kids.
Well, Dan, I think that our students are so lucky to have you and our incredible support team at Parker, of faculty and staff, to help guide them through these middle school years. And I am so thankful for you joining us today. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. It's been fun.